Welcome to Toffee Blue View, your source for all things Everton. I am Jerry. I have Max and Edward here. We have no idea where David is. No idea. David, come back. Just to say you're okay. So
last scene at the sock factory. So.
No, he's in Dubai with Evan.
Ah, that makes sense. Okay. He's the one holding the champagne bottle over Holgate's head. I'm with you.
Popping the bottle, David.
So, guys, we had a weekend without Everton. I watched the Olympics, the Winter Olympics. Did you guys watch any of that?
No, I've just been keeping up to date with the FA Cup, really. Just football around the world.
I think it was Great Britain versus Italy or something like that. The men's curling bit went down right to the wire. That was a good one.
I've seen like every curling match except for that one. I've watched a lot of curling. Just an unhealthy amount of... I love it. Everybody told me how great it was. And then I sat down and I was like, oh, the rules are sort of like bocce. Something called bocce where you throw a little yellow ball and then you have three balls and your friend has three balls and you try to get closest. But this is curling is way more strategic and intelligent, and it's just brilliant. My buddy Kyle was like, yeah, it's like chess. I see that. I do. Max, try to catch some of that. It's legitimately cool. You gotta be patient, but it's good payoff. That was cool. I watched a lot of that. Max, FA Cup. I was able to catch the Spurs Rochdale match.
Yeah, watched a bit of that. Yeah,
I was so happy they got that equaliser in the end. I felt the pen. The Dele Alli, the how theatrical of him to go over like that. When the defender barely brushed past him, I think it just kind of it doesn't do his image any good. Not like his image is in a very good place at the minute anyway. But I think that equaliser late on by Rochdale was fully deserved.
Yeah.
Did you see the thing that Kane when Kane scored the penalty? They were all running over celebrating. Danny Rose gets straight to the camera and just goes, Ryan Mason, gives it a kiss, and then goes.
Yeah, that was a nice gesture.
That is nice. You could tell Dele Alli lets his leg hang just a little bit and then kind of throws himself to the ground. There is contact. There is legitimately contact.
Yeah, there's a brush to the brush, yeah.
But and, there's well, no, they could come
no
into
way
that
near and... enough to make someone... lose their balance.
Yeah.
They might fight back with Nias and all that. You know, Spurs fans, they might fight back with Nias, but...
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, the thing is, like, the thing is with Nias, I still think there was contact. Contact, and I do think he was theatrical in the fall, but there was contact in the box. But a lot of the pundits are saying, you know what? Contact doesn't equal a foul. Always equal a foul.
Taking the contact element out of the sport, it completely ruin it, in my opinion, to be honest. You know, you need that physicality about the sport to make it exciting.
It just makes people, it punishes players who don't fall down at the slightest bit of contact, who keep playing, even though it might be close to a lost cause. You know what I mean? I couldn't see Seamus Coleman falling down like that. I see Seamus Coleman being somebody, you clip his legs, he's struggling, hand on the ground to try to keep up, you know?
Phil Jones it.
You know, but it's stuff like that. Yeah, I feel like it just encourages people just to hit the ground, you know?
I agree, definitely.
So you hate seeing that. I am glad they're going to get to play at Wembley at least, but a lot of people feel like they should have gotten the win. You know, I will say when I was watching, the majority of the time I was watching, Spurs looked like the stronger squad, obviously. But then that's not always who wins games.
No. I was very impressed with Rochdale. As I said, I tweeted while I was watching them. It was a very simple approach to the game. It was, you know, stay compact, don't let any runners go, clear the ball whenever you get it to feet and force Spurs to restart their attacks again. And I mean, the one time that they did let a runner go, Lucas got in and Lucas scored. But
their defense was so organized, you know?
Yeah, it was a very strong defensive showing.
And they're not doing well this season either.
No.
They must have trained hard, though. They must have trained
Neither
hard.
in Newport, they've ended up going to Wembley as well.
That's right. I was talking about that because whenever I watch those kind of games with my family, I have to tell my 5-year old and be like, "Okay, you know who that team is?" And he's like, "Spurs." And I'm like, "That other team, you don't know who they are. They're a little team. So who are we pulling for? Little team?" And I'm like, "Yes, always the little team, you know?"
Yes.
As long as it's not Everton.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, my 2-year old now, every time there's any game on, it could be basketball. My 2-year is like, "Everton." the poor brainwashed child. But you know what? I'm so fine with it. It's
yeah.
But yeah,
have you been celebrating when they've been training in Dubai this week?
No, they haven't been keeping up with that. Yeah, I haven't shown them the pictures, which we'll have to discuss in a minute, by the way. So really quickly, guys, we should sum out up what this particular show is going to be like for those who are listening, not watching right now, the pod people. So pod people, here's what the show looks like today. We're going to start with a little overview of Everton's warm weather training in Dubai. Going to hit a few subjects there. Don't want to blow them, though. No spoilers, sweetie. Next, Sandro. Sandro just has been saying stuff, which I feel like he's been totally silent when he's at Everton. As soon as he gets to Sevilla, let's talk. So
he doesn't speak English.
I mean, there's other people who speak the Spanish, and you know what I mean? Like, they can translate. So, yeah, but we got to talk about Sandro. Next, Eliaquim Mangala.
Poor guy.
Yeah, we need to discuss his situation and our center back situation. And we will finish up with a mystery contract signing.
But who is it?
Well, you'll have to listen, you already know. But I wonder if Everton even knew they had signed this guy, because they never told us. So
no, ask the FA. The FA, no more than the club do.
Yeah, the FA, so forthcoming, that FA. So let's move on. Let's talk about Dubai, gentlemen. Sam's favorite hangout spot. Warm
Gets
weather.
All the clubs going.
Yeah, warm weather training. Everybody's talking it up, talking about how refreshing it is. It's like some of Sam's winter fresh gum. Very refreshing. Makes you feel as though you've reborn. There are.
Gets rid of the gravy.
You know, yeah, no more gravy, folks. And apparently they're getting to kind of hang out a little bit too, do a little fun stuff, not just the training. But you see the photos of DCL and Holgate partying with
wink.
Am I saying this person's name correctly? Pia Mia.
That's the one.
Yeah. Edward knows who this is because he's got his fingers on the pulse of the world pop scene. My fingers are more just scratching my back. I have no idea about what's going on with that. I don't know who that is. Apparently, she's a lady and she sings. So there you go. But some pictures of Mason Holgate kind of hanging out with a champagne bottle on his head.
David, what have you been doing?
David, why are you letting this happen, David? So, guys, having said all that, there are a lot of supporters who are kind of pissed. Okay, let me say that. They're angry. See, we say pissed for angry here, and you guys say pissed for something totally different. They're pissed, too, for you guys as well. But, you know, but they're angry because it feels like a reward for a subpar season for these players. I don't necessarily feel like that, but what do you guys think?
But I just think it really just... I was talking about this the other day. I think it just, if you looked at the 80s in comparison to now, you know, just, you know, the many high profile players going to a pub having a pint, or, you know, interacting with fans at a pub, etc., etc. George Best, you know, is notorious for his, you know, his lifestyle. But I just think as society's changed, obviously the perception of that changed. You know, it's not in a pub, it'll be in a club. They're not going to be drinking a pint, they're going to be drinking, you know, vodka and Red Bull, you know what I mean? So in essence, I think, you know, it's not too much different to what we've always really seen in the game. But in regard to it, the perception that it's a reward for a subpar season, I mean, we were discussing just off camera there, you know, Allardyce had come out and said, you know, he's very fond of Dubai as a location. He's took all of the clubs that he's ever managed to Dubai for to reap its benefits, such as, the, you know, the weather, the service that's provided by the people that look after them.
The ladies.
To be honest, I don't really have a particularly, you know, I don't, I'm not angry about it because I think you just get used to seeing footballers have this sort of lifestyle. You know, it is what it is. The game's evolved and this is what these players do now. You know, if they have a week out the schedule, they'll go abroad for 4 days on a training camp. You know, as long as these benefits that Sam speaks about can be seen on the pitch, then that I haven't got a problem with it at all.
Mm. Yeah, I think they went last year. So after that warm weather training camp, didn't they like come back and do a bit of a run in form, if I'm not mistaken, as well last season? They had a bit of a run in form as well after a warm weather camp, as far as I know. So I reckon it could do good for them. All right, I can understand why people would see it as like a reward for a bad season, but at the end of the day, they're just people. They're just people like everyone else.
That was going to be my point.
Sorry.
No. I'm just echoing what you guys are saying. I think you both are hitting a lot of the important points for me. I understand people getting frustrated with seeing football that they don't appreciate. You know, they see some of the effort from some of these players. I get that. And you know, if I saw a bunch of photos of Schneiderlin sitting there, you know, rolling around on a pile of cash, you know, I would get kind of annoyed. But these are young guys. Young guys turn around a lot faster after a night out. Who knows how much they were actually drinking? We don't know. They're people. They are people. Yeah. I mean, we're not the only team. I mean, West Brom, you know, their guys are stealing taxis. Is it bad that I just kind of giggled at the idea of imagining Gareth Barry stealing a taxi? It just.
For some reason or another, I always thought he'd be wearing a pair of his Gazelles while he's doing it as well. Those are the Gazelles that he got caught training for when he was at Everton. I know. As you say, I think it's just, you know, these antics do occur, and the media are a lot quicker to pick up on them than they would have been in yesteryear. So, yeah, I think, Tim, you've got to look at the media for at instances like this. They are a lot quicker at picking up on them. I think football's become such a commodity to the people, really, that any kind of waves that are made that might not even be newsworthy get reported. So,
yep.
To be honest, if Mason Holgate's out pulling a singer, it doesn't really interest me. Good on the lad, but I don't feel it warrants a page in the Echo.
You know, I mean, I right now, stories that are considered newsworthy. You know what I mean? I mean, when's our next game, guys? When do we play next?
Saturday.
Saturday. Saturday. Mm-hmm. Those pictures were from when? Like a week before. You know what I mean? So I'm not worried about them cutting loose a little bit. You know, it's not like they're on a bender or anything where they're, you know, drinking every night.
Well, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, they're allowed to be people a little bit. They're allowed to relax. They're allowed to bond some with their new teammates in between, which they need that.
As we've said, you know, this has been brought up many a time on here, and it's been brought up many a time by Evertonians. You know, we've said plenty of times the team just haven't really seemed to gel. And the you know, bonds don't really seem to be there. You know, if the lads are spending more time with each other, you know, you see there's been a lot of, you know, Yannick Bolasie and Theo Walcott with Cenk Tosun and Phil Jagielka. They're sort of the senior members of the squad doing their thing. And, you know, you'll obviously have the younger lads doing their thing. You know, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Theo looks to be a bit like he's trying to get sort of like conversing with everyone.
Yep.
Especially, I mean, if you look at his Instagram stories and all that, which are posted by Toffee Blues as well, so Everton News feed, check him out.
That's right.
On Instagram. he seems to be trying to get on with everyone, doesn't he? Really?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like a lot of the guys are genuinely trying to work their way in. They want to be a part of it. I don't see a lot of players that are. The only one that didn't really seem like he was really integrating very well was Sandro. You know, you saw him off to the side a lot, by himself a lot. Not really looking very happy when he was photographed. But I feel like there's some camaraderie happening. You know, people are seeming like they genuinely like each other, or at least they look like that in their photos and videos. You know, we're aware that that's not always reality. But
Jerry put himself up in a six pack the other day. We all knew. Sorry.
No one's supposed to know, Edward. These are secrets. Secrets for a reason. All right, so...
The truth should always be heard.
So, maybe this was all Sam's big idea to get them in warm weather, because he had said Jink Tosin wasn't used to the weather in England.
Born in Germany.
And that's...
Played in Turkey.
Yeah, and that was his main reasoning for not playing him, saying he needs to get used to things, but also he's not used to the weather. Well, I've seen it widely reported on Twitter and in, you know, random blogs that's not true as far as the difference in temperature between Turkey and England during the winter. Apparently, it's not that big of a disparity. And, of course, Germany, we know that. So, yeah, apparently that is clearly false. Additionally... Jags came out and said Tosin has looked good in training. He did say that perhaps this time not playing a whole lot would be good for him to gradually work his way in. He did say that. But then Duncan Ferguson came out and said Tosin looks good too. We're made up that we've got him. So the club released a video today where he's banging him in. He looks pretty solid. You know, so... Are we all just still under the same impression? Sam's just still full of shit.
As I say, with this Dubai, the whole Dubai trip really just reeks of Sam Allardyce and what Sam Allardyce wants, Sam Allardyce gets. Something that I picked up that he said to the media while he's been over there is that every target that's set. All the targets that are set for the players are set by GPS and statistics and all that witchcraft, which I still, you know, for a Premier League manager to be solely dependable on statistics.
Sounds like Dave.
And
actually, Dave has come out and said and spoken against that, believe it or not. As addicted as he is to stats. He agrees.
I just feel like taking that kind of that human element out of the game of, you know, the man to man management and, you know, things like that, where, you know, you've got to have trust in your players to deliver. You know, you've got to take the risks of gambling, putting a player in. That's what football's about. If you field the same team that are coming up with the same stale statistics, you know, 9 times out of 10, and they're still not turning up. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got to look at alternatives from there. So that's my only issue with the statistics.
It is a very tactical game now, isn't it? There's no sort of thrill or risk in it anymore. It's all pure tactics. I mean, the way he's coming now with the top six, he's tactically trying to set up and defend or... Mm-hmm. Against smaller teams, he wants to go out and attack and all that, and that's his tactics. And it's weird.
I think he's taking a new approach now, though. All right, I think he came out and said, "No more rotating. Let's play. Let's start to just play a little bit more consistently." And I think he's been gearing up this whole time for a big run in, so he can be the hero. You know what I mean?
That's and drop the base.
You know, I mean, yeah, he's and the only how many more games against the top six do we have?
Two.
Not that many. You know what I mean?
City, Liverpool. That's it.
Yeah, and so I'll be curious how we set up against those two. But I think for the most part, I think he might be pretty consistent with formation for all those other games. You know?
Well, we've talked about it plenty of times. You know, as soon as we saw this kind of 4-3-3 emerge against Leicester, we thought, you know, this should be something that we stick with and attempt to combat against any side. The only issue with that really is, you know, now how are you going to integrate Tosin if Nias continues in such great form? You know, there are plenty of other players that you think, you know, should warrant a run out, really. I would, you know, and Jerry, I think you've been the one that's kind of flagged this up multiple times. You know, the striking options that we've got, we could force a real good partnership out of, you know, a Nias and Tosin or Tosin and DCL. So it remains to be seen, but I think we will be happy if he continues with this kind of 4-3-3. And even, you know, if he kind of goes in with this fearless mentality against Liverpool in particular, at home, you know, it should be a game that we look to take to them. But yeah, I understand.
I know DCL came out today and said, you know what? Coach or manager gave me some time off, and I feel good now. And so we could see him getting more minutes too. However, lately when he's gotten minutes, he's been coming in for Walcott, playing like kind of that winger role, which is interesting. Because I think we saw the best of DCL when he started playing striker more.
Yeah, definitely.
So I don't know. I know if he's fighting for striker minutes, that's just another bit of competition for Tosin to get some minutes. So.
It's nice to have sort of the players we have. I mean, we've got a young talent coming through who's got pace and power. We've got a guy that's very unpredictable, but plenty of pace and grit and determination. One that's strong and can hold up a ball. We can go, like, it's great to have it because it's a variety of different ways that we can go about it.
But
That's the
you,
whole.
I think we'd all like to actually see that begin to be implemented, though. You know what I mean? So that's the thing. It's like we see the potential of the flexibility, but at times it feels like the manager is not
Doesn't.
utilizing that. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty
So.
much hit the nail on the head there. I think, you know, there are many possibilities and, you know, flexibility with these. It's not just the standard starting 11 that we've been seeing. You know, again, we've got lads on the bench that you feel like could, if given a run in the side, make a claim for themselves. I mean, look at Davies and what Davies managed to do. So yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there.
You know, he's rated as like the seventh best young player in the world.
They just came
Ironically,
out.
Liverpool's best young player is about 41st. So.
Oh yeah, and the Echo ran a story about why was their player really not as good as those other players? That's in the Echo. You should look up that story. It's a thing.
Really, well, I just thought it was rather typical that an Everton player would end up being seventh. Just this typical this
I was
association
going to
that.
say something about
That didn't even occur to me, so I'm glad it occurred to y'all. That's kind of awesome. But not.
that.
You know what I mean?
Ironically, it's a place
To
we're
be
going
honest with you,
for.
I think we'd most definitely take a seventh place finish this season.
We would. Yep. I think we'd see that as
I
a
think it's still
victory.
possible.
No, it is. It's definitely still possible. There is a portion of the fan base that is not wanting that because they're worried that Europa League dented our form this season.
We
So,
just weren't ready.
yeah, I agree. We should do a video on that.
We should.
Okay.
You know, Europa League this season versus the potential of Europa League next season. Put a pin in that, guys, for later.
Brainwave.
All right. So. Okay, so I guess that's it for our Dubai segment. Let's talk about Sandro. All right. Obviously,
We've probably
everybody.
already talked about him before, haven't we?
We have a lot. We've given Sandro a thorough attention, but. More stuff came out, right? Obviously, he was loaned to Sevilla near the end of the window. So far for Sevilla, he's played 66 minutes versus Eibar when they lost 5-1. He played 47 minutes versus Las Palmas, and they won 2-1. and he was on the bench versus Girona. And then he played 10 minutes versus Leganos in their second leg of the Copa del Rey, and they won 2-0. All right? Here's the quote. He has no goals and one assist so far. So that's how he's doing. He's not playing every minute, but he's playing almost every game.
All right.
So here's his soundbite. I've been here 2 weeks, and I want to continue next season at Sevilla. I'm where I want to be.
Ooh.
So I got to be honest. When I read that kind of stuff, I get really defensive and angry. You know what I mean? It's kind of like,
how dare you?
It feels like it's. I know it's not a personal attack. It feels like an attack against the club, which eventually sort of feels personal in a way. If you're super, you know. But so here's the deal. Here's two questions. If he doesn't want to be here, do we even want him back? That's the first one.
Mm.
What do you guys think?
You put it perfectly in my transfer grading video, which you should check out. If you've got a player that doesn't want to be at the club, what's the point in having him?
Hmm.
You know, you don't see people wanting to stick around in the jobs that they hate. They want to move on, and they probably will move on. So,
yeah, I echo that really. I think it just speaks volumes of the disconnect between Sandro and the club, really. You know, it's been no secret that him and certain others have struggled to settle down and adapt. But to the extent where... Because, as you're saying, Jerry, it doesn't feel like a personal attack. It feels like a young player talking about his own career and wanting to do what's best for his own career. So from that perspective, I can completely understand... it just seems to be the classic case of a Barcelona reject, really. He's kind of left Barcelona, made waves somewhere else, tried to cut it big time in the Premier League, and it just hasn't worked, and he's kind of resorting back to Spain. I've got no hard feelings against the lad. It just obviously wasn't to be, and I'll always go back to what Evertonian said when he first joined. You know, if he does well, it's a steal, and if he doesn't do well, then it's all right, because we didn't pay an astonishingly big sum like certain other teams have done for other players. So at the end of the day,
saying we're not the new Manchester City just yet.
No, we won't miss him. I don't think he didn't really make that big of a wave whenever he got minutes for us. So if he does move on, then, you know, wish him well.
Shows the character, though, in a way, as well. I mean, Klaassen's not done great, but he's still got the guts and determination to think, I'm going to stick around and try and do something, whereas Sandro basically sort of just piggybacked out and just like... Mm.
I think they're two different characters anyway.
Yeah.
Mm. And
I would have liked to have seen him be a success, but...
Yeah, I genuinely... Sandro was one of the signings I was looking forward to the most. When you saw his videos, and we knew we needed someone who could be a consistent goal threat, someone who could actually score outside the box. His highlights looked like he had no problem scoring from outside the box. It would have just, he seemed like a talent, and it was a steal. Considering we paid for him what you pay for up-and-coming U23 talent in England right now, that's the price that we paid for him, which is ridiculous. It was.
We paid more for Lookman.
Yes, you know. And granted, Lookman, in hindsight, is probably more fit for the English league. You know, but if I'm Sandro and I want to maybe have some glimmer of hope of getting invited to the World Cup with Spain, I'm probably not going to be able to do it with Everton this spring. You know, regardless. So I understand him wanting a loan move because he'll get minutes with Sevilla.
Yeah.
So I'll be curious if he plays against Man United this week.
I couldn't see that happening because, as you said, and I think Jerry was the first one to flag this up, really, that his hold-up play was considerably poor.
It's so bad. And
I think if Sevilla are coming up against Man United... They're going to have that focal point up front to really hold the ball up and get runners beyond the ball to get in behind. And it just doesn't really seem like he's the man for that job.
Yeah.
Which striker? Oh, front.
I know Lewis Muriel plays for them. I'm trying to
They
remember.
got
Ben
Ben Yedder
Yedder.
as well.
Ben
Yeah.
Yedder, yeah.
Yeah.
Adderiz? No, Adderiz is Bilbao, isn't it?
They have a lot of attacking options. I remember when we played them in the summer. They looked impressive.
Was it Banega? Banega plays there, doesn't he?
Oh yeah. And he looks great every time he plays for them now. It's
He's a class.
yeah, he makes me every time we were linked for him, we linked with him, I would watch videos of him, watch him play games. I'm like, this guy is so good.
Oh yeah, I did that when Sandro actually came to us, and I saw these little highlight reels, and especially that free kick against Atletico. Oh.
Edward, not to tip my hand, but I do that with every single player we're linked with.
So
Every
that's how you
single
get
one.
your research. That is interesting.
I watch there, and I watch any games that are available on YouTube, or if it's just their own personal highlights against good teams. Yeah, I'm a
Fair
nerd.
play.
Yeah.
Not even remotely dorky.
Yeah. So here's the last question on Sandro. Let's say Big Sam is not back during the summer. Let's say we get one of these Portuguese managers who we've been linked with recently.
Oh, we're not saying his name. Ooh.
It could be. There's a
There's several.
yeah. Number one, do you think you'd be tempted to come back and play with maybe a manager whose system and mindset and wants to actually play football is pretty different than what Sam wants to do? Would he be tempted to do that? And if he does the old switcheroo like that, do we still want him back?
I
You
think
know?
that's entirely down to his character, really. I think it wouldn't surprise me if he wanted to stay as far away from the club as he possibly could. As a young player, if you have a bad experience, you tend to kind of veer away from anything remotely close to it again. So, and I completely understand if he didn't want to come back. I get that. But yeah, it'd make the proposition a whole lot more attractive if someone like Paulo Fonseca or if Marco Silva came in, who, I feel like I'd be able to emphasize with him a lot more. But all in all, as I say, I think my first point's quite. It's got a lot more strength to it than the second point, really. I feel like as a young player, if you do have a bad experience, it's in your best interest to stay away. And given his character and his comments, it wouldn't surprise me if he did stay away.
I
The way
agree.
I see it, actually, his views of it, he's got two options. He either stays in Spain in a comfortable league as a good player with better chances and all that. Or he can come back to the Premier League, take a big gamble with his career, and then potentially become an even better player because it shows he's more adaptable for leagues, different games. But that I mean, look at what Aguero did. Aguero was pretty damn good in Spain. I think it took him a few good games to get his feet on the ground running, and when he did, I mean, I've said it myself so many times on these on different videos. Sandro could be another Aguero for us. He's got the same sort of characteristics. He can score goals. He's quick, powerful, and all that. Well, not powerful, but
That's
quick
what he's
and good
lacking.
with the
What you
ball.
just mentioned, that's what I think he's lacking, is that strength on the ball. You know what I mean? That's what I think the main thing. I think a lot of the other stuff, I think you're right. I also don't know if his ball control to keep that ball close to him.
He's
Aguero is
Spanish, he's
pretty.
fine.
But no, if you watch him play, a lot of times when he receives the ball, he'll purposefully play it a little farther away, or is it on purpose? And it's kind of tough to tell sometimes. Sometimes you see thinner players do that because they lack strength and they're trying to keep the ball away from the defense, and that's how their hold-up play works.
Or again, as you say, it could just be down to a very unpredictable first touch. I mean,
Oh,
for
who does that remind us of?
I don't know. I was just gonna say when he was at us, Romelu Lukaku. He had that. I'm not gonna say poor, but a very off and on touch. But you know,
Anyone
he
else
did have
in?
he had the physicality to back that up. He had the physicality to recover the ball a lot of times. But you know, as we've said, it really does seem like Sandro can't substitute that for anything else. He doesn't seem to win the fouls. He doesn't seem to kind of use his quickness to recover the ball and play it off. So, as I said, I do feel like his final decision is going to be to stay in Spain.
And I do too. And it could be what's best for him. I continue, even if he leaves, I continue to think we didn't give him enough of an opportunity to
So yeah,
succeed, to
I
blend.
was going to
I'm
say,
always going to
I
think
was
that.
actually going to ask that. Whose fault is it really that the move hasn't worked out? Is it Sandro for not wanting to put in the effort to try and fix with the game? Is it the management for not even playing him or giving him a chance? Or is it the club for basically not helping him try and fix in and fit in with the rest of the team?
I would kind of, if I'm going to blame, you know, I would go partly manager, partly player. I don't really blame the club much at all for that. They brought him in,
No.
you know, but with the player, I think if you really, really, really want to succeed with a club, you work your way through it. He ch clearly chose not to play any U23 games. Klaassen's done the same. These are players that think they deserve to be with the first team, and talent-wise, they might, but they're trying to acclimatize themselves and get used to England and everything. That's what I would be doing. You know, I'm not quite sure why they refused to do that. Why didn't they ask to do that? Why didn't somebody ask them to do that? Or maybe they did and they refused. So
Well, I
it's.
mean, you look at the way Nias was, isn't it? Nias is the perfect example. And he's
Yep,
done well.
he was psyched to
I
play.
suppose my argument for it is I just feel like it's been a real turbulent time to be a player at Everton Football Club in general. I feel, you know, if you were signed in the summer, you were signed under Ronald Koeman. You'll have played under David Unsworth, and now you've ended up with Sam Allardyce. It's far from ideal as a player when you're trying to find stability or make a name for yourself that you go through so many different coaches, so many different training, like tactics in a way. But I completely I echo what you're saying in terms of the I do feel like you should, if it's not working out in the first team, you should give it a crack at the under 23s. But again, I feel like two of them, you know, because you did mention Klaassen as well, Jerry, that I think Sandro and Klaassen have been brought into the club under the impression that they were one of like two
They
of
were
high
game
two
changers.
they were two high profile signings that would make waves, and they expected to be in the Everton starting 11 pretty much, and to be splashed, you know, it's like kind of splashing the face with cold water. You know, they've been hit with the reality that, you know, they haven't quite cut the mustard at a Premier League level. And you know, any player worth the weight in gold turns around and goes, right, okay, this hasn't happened, so this is what the scenario is now, and how can I look to resolve that and push on to what my initial goals were. And as you said, being included in the under 23 setup would be a logical step in trying to make an impression on that first team.
Yeah, that's the one thing that hasn't made sense to me. You know, I guarantee you they came in. So I think Sandro, I mean, we gave Sandro the number nine jersey. We thought he comes in, he's going to start immediately. All of us thought it. You know, and you guarantee you he thought it. You know, Koeman, the way he got him here was to say, I can't guarantee you starting place, but I want you to start. You know what I mean? Because he refused, he doesn't guarantee starting positions. But I guarantee you, he told him, we're going to give you the number nine jersey and I want to play you. And that didn't happen that much. Happened a little. Didn't happen that much. Unsworth didn't play him. And Big Sam didn't really play him. You know? So yeah, I think it is the manager's duty to find a system that works for the personnel you have. I do think that. And I'm not sure that that's really happened a whole lot this season with any of our managers until recently. I think Sam has cracked a little bit with our recent lineup. So I have a little bit of blame for the manager, but I think as a player, you find a way. Davies came in, he wasn't playing. He said, what do I need to do?
Interestingly, not to the Big Sam, though.
Yo, we talked about that. We talked about that, yeah. Because I don't think they do. I don't think he takes those kind of meetings. seriously, which again may be a little telling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. But you know, it is what it is. You know, the lads took this, you know, he's obviously thought, you know, to revitalize his career, the best choice was to go back to Spain with an environment and a league that he's familiar with, and you know, fair play to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm always going to wish him well. You know, I still think he's talented. I think he's good enough to play for us. I do. You know, I think the talent is there. But yeah, maybe chemistry with the team, maybe the style, just not working for him. I still say that David shared that story on Twitter about us not getting the player we were expecting, and it broke it down based on goal opportunities. And yeah, it's pretty fascinating, actually. And I can't remember where that was found. Hey. So look on David's timeline on Twitter. It's somewhere on there. yeah. So I guess that's it. We'd be cool with you coming back, Sandro, if you know, as long as you want to be here. Yeah. Because he watches the show, guys.
Hola.
So I guess that's it for our Sandro Doesn't Want to Be Here frowny face segment. Allardyce confirmed recently that Eliaquim Mangala will be out long term due to the injury he sustained against Palace. Damaged knee ligaments. If you watched the game, you saw the replay. Hard to watch. His knee kind of goes the wrong way. As soon as I saw it, I was worried because I've been that guy before in a different way. My leg went a different direction than his. But when you see a knee bend like that, it's usually bad news. So though we are sad to hear this, we are, you know, it's awful, and we
definitely.
You know, hopefully
he's wishing a speedy recovery.
Yeah, speedy recovery, man. Come back. Yeah, you know, don't let this be the end of your career, basically, because sometimes it is for some guys.
Not a chance.
Yeah. But we have to continue on. Edward is the name of our club now. Hey.
Yes.
Edward FC. Everton has to continue as a club. All right. It was one of our key transfers of winter. And now we're down. However, we do have another left-sided center back who recently played 90 minutes with the U23s in Funes Mori. And we talked before about how they're sort of comparable players, him and Mangala. Both have a mistake in them, but both have some potential to be decent in the air and all that. So, the state of Everton at center back at the moment. Who's ours? If you've got a big game... If you have a big game, who are your starting centre backs?
See, I found it quite weird. I thought everyone's saying about the whole thing with left-sided defenders and all that, which I do agree with. But if you noticed, I think it was in the Palace game. Soon as Mangala goes off and we go with an all right footers, we're somehow more balanced and better. It's so weird. Don't you think? I mean, you looked at it against Leicester as well. Everyone was slating that. And yet we managed to win that. It was just, I find it really weird.
Part of that may have been that Mangala wasn't playing great.
Maybe.
You know, it may not have been in relation to what foot he is. Maybe just, I mean, I've seen some replays of videos where he'll lose his man really easily. And, you know, I still think he could have contributed and been a solid player for us this season, but... I mean, and I honestly, I didn't think we were playing awfully at the beginning of the game when he was in, you know,
no.
There was a stretch more in the middle of the half where I thought they kind of took over more, you know?
Wait, are we talking about Arsenal or Palace?
Palace. Arsenal, nothing was good in that first half.
No, definitely not.
That was an absolute shit show, and I'd appreciate it if you never mention it again. I'll thank you to never speak of it again. Oh, I died that day. It's so awful.
In answer to your question, Jerry, I'm a firm, you know, I'm sticking with my choice. You know, it's always kind of in my pick of the bunch. I just want to see Mason Holgate and Michael Keane form a strong partnership at Centre Half, and because I just do feel that that's the partnership that benefits the club going forward. If we're going to be serious about keeping these young talents that we've got, I mean, I know Michael Keane hasn't had the greatest of seasons, but you know we've seen at Burnley and Jerry in particular, you've attributed that down to how stable Burnley are, and that is what made Michael Keane shine, and essentially what got him the move to Everton. So I feel like once this kind of all round stability develops, once a midfield is established that can cover the back four without leaving so exposed that they are all, you know, we've seen plenty of times this season where the defence have been dragged left, right and centre, trying, you know, they've either been drawn to the ball or miss a man, etc., etc. But I feel this midfield that we're developing with Rooney, Davies and Gay seems to be working well in that it does cover the us defensively. And going forward, I want to see Mason Holgate and Michael Keane, yes, both right footers, but essentially could be an England partnership there.
Mm. Edward.
I mean, you look at it as well with Funes Mori coming back into the fold. You've the three of those there, I mean, put the three of them in, that could be a brilliant three-man.
No.
I know, just... It Never could be a really good three-man partnership, but I would like to... I mean, like I said with the Sandro video, it offers a bit of variety in a way. Because then we've got Funes Mori and Holgate together, or Funes Mori Keane, or Keane and Holgate, all young and very promising centre-backs that could all work together, potentially.
I'm not against if we have to go three in the back every once in a while, as long as we train and make sure our players know their roles. Because honestly, against Arsenal, it looked like they had never trained and who had no idea what they were doing with three at the back. All right, it was a train wreck. It was defensive miscommunication over and over and over again. And we looked, Max said it, lost. We looked lost.
And ironically, it's when, like against City right at the start of the season, we had one of our best defences with three at the back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's... I'm not gonna say never play three at the back, because I think if we train for it, we could be okay. I don't think it should be our first choice.
No, I just... my reaction to that was more towards the fact that we're hardly accomplished in the formation that we've only just started
playing.
That's a
good point. That's true.
So,
you know, you can't...
Fix what isn't broken.
You know, yeah, well... In a sense, you can't think that you know everything already, and that's a common theme that's brought up whenever we talk about Sam Allardyce. But you know, we need to, and then, you know, he showed signs towards this. You know, he's ditched the two holding midfielders. He's kind of got this revolving three man midfield, which covers the defence really well, and all the defence know what they're doing. And even the fullback seems to have taken a bit more attacking responsibility. We've seen with the assist that Cuco Martinez has been getting. as I say, master what's going to be at the core of your plans before you branch out and extend onto plan Bs and plan Cs.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I don't want to change formation the entire rest of the season. I don't want to. If he does it against City, and he's made sure to train them, and work on it, and they know their roles, I'm not going to roll my eyes. I will tell you, though, if we go three in the back, we're not going to score any goals anytime soon. Mm. It's not going to happen, because three at the back is really five at the back, and we've had trouble scoring goals in the past anyway. So, yeah, I like the idea of a team with flexibility, but there are teams, I mean, that's one of Burnley's strengths, is... they rarely change formation. They
Leicester
stick...
didn't at all in the title-winning season, did they? At
what,
all?
What was that?
Leicester didn't like change their title,
Oh, yeah.
like winning team basically, or the
Yeah.
formation.
I mean, so certain teams can get that from consistency, from making sure every. That's one of the things, Max, you mentioned it, Burnley, with everybody knowing their role. It's comfortable. Everybody knows your role. It's your stable, and it's not a whole lot of confusion. So yeah, I would like us to move toward having a style, having a format. We know what we're doing. But at the same time, it is nice to play with a team that has flexibility.
I think you've pretty much said it all there. I think that's what Evertonians want to see us come out of. The Evertonians, that's what Evertonians want to see us come out of the season with, a style and a method, where rather than kick and rush or because we've seen a big observation that I made, particularly in the Arsenal game when we did play at the back, was they just looked so off balance and didn't know the role. So you need to go to be able to go to these big stadiums and big into these big games with a plan, knowing your role and being able to perform it to a good standard.
Yeah. Having said all that, I think the most stable center back pairing we have at the moment is Holgate and Williams still. Just because I think they work really well together. I think they communicate really well together. I think that's stable. I don't think that's the best partnership moving forward. Okay? I think if you want to start putting a center back partnership for next year and the year after and the year after, then you get Holgate and Keane, or Keane and Funes Mori, or Holgate and Funes Mori. You know what I mean? Some combination of those. Because in a little while, next season,
Williams is gone. Jagielka is gone.
Williams and Jags are gone, but Pennington will probably come back in the fold and be given an opportunity to show what he can do. Additionally, with oh, is it Sunderland?
Galloway.
Browning.
Browning, yeah.
Yeah, Bryant Browning's going to get an opportunity as well. So these are players who are gone right now, but they're going to get a chance during the summer to show something. So yeah, I don't know. Yeah. So I think if I'm going to say for the next game, I would say Holgate Williams. But for moving forward, Holgate Keane.
So when do you start then the Holgate game? If you're not going to play against not as good teams like Watford and
That's such a good question
your lower
because I
teams.
want seventh. A lot of people would say as soon as we get 40, start playing people for the future now. Some people would say that. I want seventh. I want a shot at Europa League. I think it'll help us attract more players. I think it'll help us attract another coach, another manager. So I'm one of the I like Europa League, to be honest.
Yeah, I do as well. It's just, I think actually Holgate and Keane together could actually get us seventh in a
Interesting.
way.
I mean, and you know what? It might be,
But
but
we've got to
we
do
may
it.
have some growing pains on that, though.
I think it's just part of the trial and error of it, really.
So yeah, I with Mangala injured, I think all of us agree we're not totally screwed. It would have been nice to have the
Thank God it
depth.
was alone.
Yeah, no, really. That was the main thing. It was a loan. I think we do still owe his wages, though. I think that might be
Yeah,
right.
he will. We'll be covering his wages, and it's only right, make sure the lad has a good recovery, and make sure it's not the end of his career, as you say.
Yeah. So that has been the end of our Mangala segment. Speedy recovery, man. Back last year in 2017,
Oh, so
some
long ago.
some
in
more October. Not even like it was in
it
December.
was
In October.
October. It totally was. It was right around the time when Koeman was gonna lose his job or had just lost his job. It came out that
Maybe
we were.
that's why they didn't announce it. They thought, oh, let's announce a new contract. Oh, the manager's gone. Better leave it on ice for a bit.
You know, I mean, that's basically, if you don't know what Edward's talking about, all right.
Where have you been?
There were rumors coming out that Ghana was going to sign a new contract. It was impending. It was going to happen. All right. And it was going to happen soon. It was going to be a 5-year deal. This is happening. This is late October.
5 months.
Yes. I mean, it was, and then it went away. And you see all over Twitter, all over the message boards, every once in a while you would catch someone saying, what happened to Ghana signing a contract? What happened to Gay's contract? What's the deal with that? And then it would go silent again. It's always Edward under his 10 different Twitter names.
Sorry.
And then it just came out. It didn't even come out. Everton didn't announce this. Apparently the FA confirmed that Ghana, in fact, did sign a contract October 26th, 2017.
So
it did happen. It's a 5-year deal, and that's what we know. What? So
speaks volumes.
Was that actually, wait, was that actually around the time of the Arsenal game?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't far off, was it?
Yeah,
it wasn't. I think it was a couple of days after.
What is the? So one of my thoughts, Edward, is one you mentioned, is that maybe they were holding off announcing it because it didn't want to seem like a celebration when we've just sacked a manager. Okay, there's that. However, some would say that's a great time to announce a contract signing when everybody's like, we don't have a manager. Like, oh, a good player has decided to commit himself to us.
I think Everton, in that sense, have always been relatively good. You know, when Stones left, Williams was announced. When Lukaku left, we made sure Rooney was there and announced.
I was very
that, but it kind of it speaks volumes of the inconsistencies of the communications between fans and club, really, or club to fans, I should say. I think it all kind of kicked off with when Cenk Tosun was announced during halftime at the Merseyside derby. My suspicions were he would be announced after the game because I thought, you know. Particularly, you know, I kind of picked up on the trend that Everton have of when there's bad news, get that out the way, then throw in the good news and try and help everyone forget the bad news.
Yeah,
it's a bit weird the way Cenk Tosun was announced at half time. I would have thought that he would have been announced after the game, after we got beat.
I thought it was a bizarre choice, unless there's some sort of extenuating circumstance there.
Yeah,
can I just say as well, the thing with the Arsenal game. The Arsenal game was actually on the 22nd as well, so only 5 days, 5 days before Ghana signed the contract. So that is, maybe that is something interesting as well, because if Koeman left, maybe that's what convinced Ghana to stay.
Or maybe that's... maybe that's one of the reasons why they didn't announce it, because they didn't want it to seem like he had signed because Koeman left.
You know, we see this plenty of times. You know, that after Martinez was sacked, the end of season awards was cancelled.
Yeah.
The Christmas party's been cancelled. You know, Everton in that sense are a very strange club. They shut things down that could lead to any negative exposure and. Mm-hmm. I don't know, it just seems to be a trend that you tend to pick up on with Everton. And again, this miscommunication, I feel, is just as bad as announcing Tosun at half-time, because I feel like Garner's one of our most important players, one of our best players, and one of our most loved players. So to not make an announcement out of that, and I do think he's a player that would attract attention from abroad or from other, you know, some... the top six. So to not announce that is strange to me.
Yeah. I've been trying to think of the strategic reason why you hold on to it. I get holding on to it till when, you know, a little ways, given a little grace period after Koeman's gone, somebody else has settled in. But it's been a while. It's been a long while.
Very long time.
How do you not announce that later on?
If it's a case that it's been forgotten about and forgotten to be announced because of the Koeman scenario, then again that speaks volumes of the communications, and it seriously needs to get looked at by the club and improved.
I'm wondering when someone's going to ask Sam that. You know what I mean? Or ask Ghana that in an interview of some sort. You know, they have interviews all the time. Why would someone not ask about this? You know, sometimes it seems like the interview questions are a little soft. They could be a little more penetrating. But, yeah. But this is something that just came out. It's sort of new news, so maybe we'll hear something about it later on in the week. So, I hope. If we don't...
You'll just have Everton, like, at the end of the week just saying, we'd like to happily announce that Ghana has signed a brand new contract on a 5-year deal.
Yeah, and that wouldn't surprise me, and that speaks volumes of how out of touch this season's really been.
Imagine he had, like, a haircut or something, like his hair was really different back in October.
Oh,
and you could just tell when he signed it.
He had a full beard. Yeah.
Hang on a second.
I mean... I actually, before we started this segment, I checked Twitter really quick just in case Everton had announced it. You know, now that it's out, why not? Let's just say something about it, you know? I mean, it's really weird. It's a strange scenario. There's got to be I'm hoping there's a very logical reason, you know? Yeah. And one would I would hope there really would be. Yeah.
There should be, you know? And that remains to be seen, but, you know, one should hope that there is a logical as to why, and that they get it out there. It's not as if they can keep these cards close to the chest now. So, you know, it's out there.
I don't know anything. No,
it's out into the world now. And
yeah,
I don't know. It just seemed to be one of these idiosyncrasies with the club that keeps us out of grasp of being a kind of. And I hate to use the term, but a global brand, you know, if the communications are off, there are several other things that, you know, suffer as a consequence. And, you look at some of the, you know, we become notorious for our transfer announcement videos, which got a lot of good press attention and things like that. So you'd have hoped that they'd have picked up on that and thought, you know, we'll continue to be consistent with what we release and, hope to attract continuous good press, but
I found something quite funny. Go on, carry on.
I was just going to say, you know, you should hope there's a logical reason behind it.
Yeah, but what I was going to say, I saw something on Twitter, and it was actually quite funny. Everton are able to leak out team news, injury news, everything like that, and yet they keep something like this under wraps. It's so weird, isn't it? Like player signings and everything like that, they can all be leaked, but then something like this, signing contracts, somehow they've kept it under wraps.
Here's the thing. We have a tendency in like social media culture and to assume people are idiots. You know what I mean? It's sort of like we see, that's one of the reasons why sarcasm doesn't work very well on things like Twitter. Is because you immediately think they're an idiot and they mean that. You know what I mean? And so it's really hard. A lot of people's assumption when something like this happens is that Everton are inept, okay? That they're bumbling, that they make these ridiculous mistakes because they're bumbling and they don't know what they're doing, all right? And there have been mistakes that look shambolic, that seem shambolic. And you wonder what the thought process is behind it. And if there was better communication, we would understand, instead of it just seeming bumbling and shambolic, we'd understand the process behind it. Instead of just thinking, oh, they announced Tosun at halftime because they're inept, because they don't know what they're doing. There's some smart people there. You know? But if they don't explain it to us, it kind of perpetuates the thought that they just don't know what they're doing, that they're just sort of dumb about it, you know? And that sucks because you know there's smarter people behind it. Now, having said that, do I think that everybody who's working for Everton right now is on point and is just aces? No. I think that would be incredibly naive. You know, to think that everybody's perfect for their job. I can't say that. One of the reasons why the communications department is not great is because someone is not doing what they're supposed to. Someone. So
we won't name names.
But you know who we're talking about.
Yes, you.
So, yeah, I don't know, guys. When I heard this, I just shook my head. You know, because
it's just Everton, isn't it?
It's ridiculous.
Just is Everton.
Yeah, and so I'm sick of hearing about stuff like this, stories like this. You know, why? Communications department, make some changes. I think this solves a lot of this. Us saying that's just Everton. You know what I mean? Let's get away from that. You know,
let's not just be Everton. You know? Let's not sell our best players like you got us scared for about 5 months thinking we were going to be selling him. Anyone else get a little bit worried when they weren't announcing anything?
Are you talking about Omar Nias?
No, Garner. Sorry. And Umar.
I just like the idea of all of us getting scared because Omar's gone. That would be... And the thing is, right now...
I'm still getting him on the back of my shirt. I need to have him staying here for a bit.
He's our most consistent goal scorer right now.
I know.
Yeah. So strange. It's a weird time to be Everton.
I want him to keep doing that little celebration move that he's got with Garner going.
Yeah, agreed. You know, if Omar doesn't watch out, he's going to be... I mean, is Senegal in the World Cup?
Yeah, they are.
So if he's not careful, he's going to be... He's going to be on that plane. how cool would it be to watch Nias in the World Cup? That'd be awesome.
I know? Nias going up against the greatest and lifting the World Cup. We have a World Cup winner in our team.
Watching him
talking about Everton's communication department, we finished on Omar Nias winning the World Cup.
Hey, it's the greatest way to end the show.
I ended with this one specifically so it would be a positive. Like, oh, he did sign that contract. Great, but then there's that level of well, crap.
It was always
gonna be good.
As well, I know contracts essentially don't mean shit in this day and age. I mean, I know someone will always be there to buy him out, but, you know, it's always nice having that reassurance that if someone is going to come in and buy him, that they're going to have to pay a lot of that. Yep. And, I mean, for one personally, he's probably my favourite player out of a lot of them. So I hope he doesn't leave because I feel like he's...
Are we still talking about Nias?
No. One of, if not the most important player that we've got, so...
It's great news,
and we're all happy that he signed a five-year contract.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially since I heard rumors that Arsenal have been sniffing around him. So.
That's the side that I could have saw him going to as well.
Hoping that's bullshit. I guess that's it for just a gay signs a new contract. I guess now we know. And that is actually it for the big show. Pod people, thank you for listening.
Hello.
Yeah, please subscribe to the Toffee Blues podcast. Rate it if you can. And if you are just listening via podcast, we also have a YouTube channel. So check out our YouTube channel. All right? If you are watching this, please subscribe if you're liking what you're watching. We appreciate that. Leave a like, leave a comment, all that stuff. We're so close to 500 subs. You can make that happen. So, yeah. Check out Edward's YouTube channel, Jam E. James. Check out Max's stuff on the Toffee Blues website. Check out the Toffee Blues website. There's a lot of analysis, player analysis, team analysis, all that kind of stuff on there. Check out the Toffee Blues on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and any of those other social media things that you do. I don't know a lot of them. I'm almost 40. So I guess that's it. We'll see you next time. Guys, thanks so much. Max and Edward, I've been Jerry. Bye.
Adios.